see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watchman for Jesus Bible study for tonight. Gentlemen, we're going to talk about tonight the thousand-year millennium reign. And that's one subject that the Illuminati, the Freemasons, the fallen angels, Satan, does not want to be talked about. You know, what they're doing in the churches today are giving lukewarm Dr. Feelgood messages. They're not talking about how to get there. Notice that. Everybody leaves feeling all mushy and gushy and, oh, I just feel so good. Let's go to the buffet. No, I have a golf game. Oh, okay. That was a great service, wasn't it? Oh, yeah. I didn't feel guilty at all about what I did this past week. Everything I felt is just washed away. Because I heard a good lesson today, and I gave money in the pot. So I got my gold star, and yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. So they just forget about maybe some of the lies they told, or some of the sins they had this past week when the Holy Spirit was convicting them. And a good message kind of makes you forget about all that. You see, it's very clever how they do it. It's very clever. And this is done in the churches. We assume benevolence on the TV. We assume benevolence in the government. We assume benevolence in the churches. And it's actually opposite. Satan is prince of this world. You think he just lays back and does nothing? No. God is prince. God is king of this world. Satan is prince. King overrides a prince any day. Checkmate. Checkmate was made on the cross of Calvary. America, you're the last bastion of pure form of following Jesus. I don't even want to say Christianity. Christianity, you got to really define what Christianity is. It's so divided and mixed up in so many different theologies, even within Christianity. So you can't call it Christianity. How can God, how can Jesus, they're one and the same, by the way, how can Jesus even say, well, I'm a God of Christianity, when you've got so many different ways of salvation? That means that God's a liar. And he's not. So man has divided the religions up, as led by the fallen angels. And the Vatican, the ancient mystery schools, all of them got so many different theologies. Like a Chinese buffet, just pick you one. Well, God's got one dish on the menu, and that's Jesus Christ. There's only one menu. That's the King James Bible. That's it. Very simple. One way only, through Jesus. And the Bible stipulates exactly, without a doubt, how to get there. Well, tonight I want to talk about the millennial reign, of what's going to happen in the future of that 1,000 years. And I will briefly cover over a timeline to put it in proper perspective. Now, last night, I talked about dispensationalism. Bible study last night, we had a storm of some sort that came through and on the system in my area. And when it cut off, it shut down the recording thing, and I had to add another title to it or something, which I didn't do, and end up not getting it last night. So I'm going to redo it, but all that's going to happen really is dispensationalism. I won't talk about as much detail as I did last night. Tonight I have another part of it, and above and beyond the millennialism, the millennium. But what you're being taught in the religious area today is nothing but deception. Cults are taking control of their groups. Even Baptist ministers are turning around with some obnoxious theology that's just way out of whack. Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, or whatever it is. You know, you just got to get out of these religions and get with Jesus. Jesus is not about religion. Religion has always been used to divide and separate, cause wars, steal money, and create theology. So it depends who you want to follow. A priest, pope, rabbi, preacher, minister, whatever, bishop, whatever they got. I'm Apostle John from the Lickety-Split Baptist Church or something. I mean, they got titles and all kinds of stuff going on. Wearing all kinds of robes and collars like Nehru jackets back in the 1960s. Oh, my goodness gracious alive. A church is where two or more are gathered. That's it. End of story. Where two or more are gathered under an oak tree, you got a church. That's the church we're talking about. And then they say, well, what did they have before the King James Bible? Well, they didn't, really. They had the Vatican that had all these corrupted versions of the Douay Rheims and Apocrypha and all this other heresy. And they had what's called the Dark Ages before the 16th century. When was it? I forgot exactly when it ended, but 14th, 15th century. Up to that point, you had the Dark Ages. And before, why do you think they called it the Dark Ages? Because God's word was still kept under wraps in the Alps. No pun intended. And before that, it was the word of God in manuscripts, scrolls, was kept at Antioch. Before that was copies of the originals from the disciples and scrolls, which eventually they all were destroyed, except for the exact copies by scribes that were closely monitored, directed, of copies of the originals, which were perfect copies kept maintained in Antioch. Just so happens that in the 4th century, a Greek philosopher by the name of Origen got a copy of the manuscripts and corrupted them. That became the second Bible. The Vaticanus, the Sinai Catus, and all kinds of catuses here and there. It's all corrupted, missing. Eusebius got copies, gave them to Constantine, and it's got ugly from then on. And during that same time frame to Jerome, from Origen to Jerome, the copies of the originals were kept in the Alps until 1604. Before that, though, you had Erasmus, who laid the groundwork for the Textus Receptus, translating into English, Latin, see, language, Latin, listen, Latin, is Satan's own language. That's what really Latin is. English and Hebrew, what God used, Hebrew first. They lost their assignment, you might say, when they rejected Jesus and they got scattered. It went to Greeks, the Gentiles. Jesus became Jesus. Only two Bibles have ever been written, from the manuscripts and scrolls from Antioch, Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, English, and Latin, which the 47 translators were fluent in all those languages. And they collected all over from those from every language of the ones I mentioned. And that became the King James Bible. All of the Bibles before that, even though they were in English, Matthew's Bible, Geneva, Great Bible, whatever, were incomplete, and some were errant in their scriptures. So the only saving grace for it was they were translated into English, Erasmus, Wycliffe, and Tyndale. And all three of those were murdered by the Vatican. Except for Martin Luther. He was sent into exile. He was sent on a forced vacation because he worked for the Vatican. Undercover. That's another story. I'll dedicate the broadcast. Let's talk about the millennium and a timeline. Lord, we thank you tonight for this Bible study that we're able to come together again. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to share the gospel. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for our sins. We thank you, Lord, for his holy word in the King James Bible. We thank you, Lord, for the inspiration you gave to those disciples, the prophets, to bring us this Bible. And Lord, but it's becoming deceived with other Bibles and other versions. And Lord, we need that discernment and wisdom to show us the right way, because the water is getting murky. We pray for our family members, Lord. Those that's in medical need and healing, especially now, Lord. Many families are experiencing a loss of loved one or experiencing this dementia or Alzheimer's and cancer and other diseases that's caused and created. The Father, through your Holy Spirit, that could be healing, or Father, to help those that's experiencing this to get patience, to have patience and to be there to pray for their family members. We pray for our veterans, Lord, that someone will open the door and provide the information necessary and needed that they will learn how to spiritual warfare, to understand why so many suicides are occurring on a daily basis. And Lord, to protect them from these drugs they're being given and the vaccines that have been put in their bodies and the voices in their head that are caused by technology, that, Lord, this technology be destroyed. Father, we pray for those children being abducted by these agencies, by the Satanists and all the like. We pray for their escape, or Father, for their protection. We pray, Lord, for these churches to wake up and for preachers and rabbis and priests to get the courage to speak the truth and to step away from their manipulation of the Holy Word and from their organizational memberships and so forth, that, Lord, they'll become step out on their own to start teaching the true Word of God. Father, give us discernment and wisdom so we can see the end times as they come along and be able to read the Scriptures and witness to others. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, when you pray, sometimes you got to pray for the words. But people think because you have long, complicated, theological-type prayers that those are better. No, it's like you're talking to your father, your mother, or somebody of authority. You have a conversation. You're talking to them. A simple prayer. A direct prayer. People don't get because they don't ask what the Scriptures say. What are we faced with today? Oh, a lot of deception. How come people just can't tell the truth on the end times? Do they have an agenda? And you say, is that a trick question? Is there an agenda out there to deceive us? Yeah, there is. It's the rule, not the exception, by the way, in all countries, at every level. You are in enemy territory. Everybody likes to just, go into a state of bliss. I call it imaginary bliss. I just made that up. We imagine everything's okay. As soon as it starts getting too difficult, you just go into a state of bliss. Imaginary bliss. But you're right back where you started. It didn't help anything. You can also play fantasy football, you know. I mean, just the title of it, fantasy football, that should be a clue. That's where people hide. Things get too tough. You see, well, right now, there's a downplaying of the King James Bible. They come up with all kinds of things, like King James was a Freemason, the King James was a pedophile, he was all kinds of things. And I guess that's, they're trying to discredit the Bible, but if they're going to do that, then they can discredit the entire Vatican because they murdered 50 to 68 million people in a 600-year period between 1200 and 1800 A.D. They murdered 50 to 68 million people. 50 to 68 million people in a 600-year period. That's a lot of people. And a church murdered. That's massive. And then you find it's really not beyond the scope of believing it, because just in one concentration camp in 1943, for example, they murdered 750,000 Serb Orthodox Christians, 60,000 Jews, and 26,000 Gypsies in one concentration camp. St. Bartholomew Massacre, 16th century, they murdered 75 to 100,000 people in 1 week. 1 week, that's a lot of people. How come they don't talk about that? They talk about pedophile priests, right? How come not the other? Well, I'll tell you one reason why. Because now is the time. They want you to see how ill-conceived that the Vatican is. The Vatican's doing it. Yeah, the Vatican is exposing all their own priests and showing how they're changing the Pope is changing God's laws. You know why? Because there's coming a re-spiritualization of the Catholic Church. So that when they re-spiritualize it and you see all the negatives, then you'll accept the next level. A modified Catholic Church based on the New Age movement. So first you got to see how ill-conceived and worthless your government or religion is to get you to accept another one. That's how it works. It's called a dialectic. It works perfectly. It always has. Sometimes it takes a generation, depending on how massive the effort is. It's quite genius, actually. One of the greatest tricks that Lucifer ever pulled was to get people to believe it didn't exist. Coming up is what I consider the most massive fraud in the history of mankind. That I don't hear too many, hardly 99% of churches aren't even touching with a 10-foot pole. Even so-called truth tellers aren't touching it with a 10-foot pole. What am I talking about here? I'm talking about how we think Jesus Christ looks with the long hair, brown, blonde, blue-eyed, beard, wears a white robe. That's what Jesus we think is Jesus. Everybody knows what Jesus looks like. He looks like what Leonardo da Vinci painted on the Last Supper. Leonardo da Vinci was a fallen angel avatar. I've got this documented. That sounds so crazy because they put this in video games and movies and all this that it's like a party word, avatar. But in reality, it's a technique used by the fallen angels. And the New Age movement is considering it. On how the fallen angels influence their target individual. Avatars was Gandhi, was Bismarck, was Lincoln was an avatar, racial avatar is considered. Leonardo da Vinci, Plato, Aristotle. You get the idea? Working through mankind that was obedient to Lucifer. Controlled by the secret societies with a blood oath. To make a change in cultural levels that would last mankind, major, not just anybody as an avatar. So even me saying it makes me sound silly because it's such a party word today in history, in TV and video games and all that. See, it makes you embarrassed to say it. You see how it works? Because it's used in all these everyday science fiction things. So it mitigates it. It minimizes the impact of what it really is. It's for real. I got a list of who the avatars were in our history. But the greatest deception is who Jesus Christ is. But the deception part, no, I'm sorry, that's the reality. But the deception part is what he looks like. And the Freemasons, at certain degree, whether 13th degree or 20th, somewhere there, they say, and finally, you're now at the, I think it's a, around the 30th degree, 31st, 32nd, I don't know, somewhere up there. We're going to tell you the greatest secret known to man, and you must never reveal this, and blah, 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 blah. That Jesus is son of the morning star, they say. And they very cleverly say that Satan, that means adversary from Middle English and Old English, and late Latin from Greek, from Hebrew, Satan adversary. Lucifer from Latin means morning star. Well, that's not true, but that's what they say. Or literally, light-bearing. Well, nope, it's not morning star. It's light-bearing is the name of Lucifer in Latin. The light-bringer. Light-bearer. Enlightenment. Knowledge. It does not mean morning star. And Lucifer is listed in the Strong's Concordance as morning star. Well, let me tell you something about that. Strong's is wrong. Simple as that. The dictionary says that Lucifer means the light bringer. You can't combine the two. So they very cleverly say he means morning star or light bringer. They try to connect the two together. And no. And then they go on to say the planet Venus, when appearing as a morning star. See, Jesus says in 22:16, Revelation 22:16, I'm the bright morning star. Well, don't forget that word bright is included. See, the morning stars in heaven are the angels. But the bright and morning star specifically is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is ascended to the right hand of the Father. So now, what's the point here? The point is, they're trying to say Lucifer and Jesus are one and the same by their manipulation of Scripture to their fellow Masons and New Agers. And they lie. The symbolic meaning, according to them, is spiritual illumination, inner light, enlightenment, truth, public knowledge, particular aspect or appearance presented to view the matter as a different light. Sure puts another light on the subject, don't it? So, how did Lucifer, which means light bringer or light bearing, associated with Venus the planet or goddess of love, become associated with darkness and evil? By other definitions, above anything or anyone that opposes you, whether it's for your benefit or your detriment, is your adversary, your Satan. You see how they do it? No, Satan is an entity. It's not just anybody, any person, anything, any demon. It's specific. Satan is Lucifer when he fell from heaven. And so what they try to do is cover over it and say something to the effect, if you're trying to help a heroin addict kick an addiction against her will, you're acting as her Satan. Oh, you see how tricky they are? Jesus himself, a light bringer, a Lucifer. Now we're starting to get sticky here. Where they try to connect Jesus and Lucifer as one and the same. And they say that Jesus was a light bringer who claimed bringing light, knowledge to the world. He even claimed to be the very light he brought. Jesus was a Lucifer. You see, they're going to answer for this. So Jesus said David is Lucifer, the morning star, and he's Lucifer's son, David's son. They say Buddha is a light bringer, Oh, now it really gets sticky. Oh, Buddha Buddha is the light bringer. Prometheus, the light bringer. Now you see what they're doing? Prometheus is a light bringer. And it just gets ugly from there on. And the talking serpent as the light bringer. You see how people are getting confused? And they use Isaiah 14:12, which should say Lucifer fell. And when you start sticking up for it and say, that's Lucifer, fallen angel. Oh, no. The Bible made a mistake. It's Lucifer they're talking about. The morning star is really a Babylonian king. No, it's not. Because if you read the scripture in Isaiah 14, you see clearly it's not a king at all. Boy, I tell you what. And some people are going to do some answering to God on all this mess. Big time. And it just gets ugly from there. And the Freemasons, at some degree, give them the greatest secret of all, that Lucifer and Jesus are one and the same. Now, they're already brainwashed over, you know, 15 or 20 or 30 degrees. And so they're primed to understand this last lie they've given. You know, on December 25th, for example, that's the birthday of a Roman god called Mithra. Mithra was born December 25th in a cave. Three wise men brought him gifts to honor their birth, his birth, when he was born. Mithra was called the Good Shepherd, the way, the truth, and the light. Oh, Redeemer, Savior, Messiah. Mithra was buried in a tomb. After 3 days, he rose again. The resurrection was celebrated every year. Mithra preceded the story of Jesus by about 600 years. You see what they do? They turn Christmas into a pagan holiday. It's what it is. See, there's no birthday for Jesus. He's with us always. He's not even dead. He's alive. He's coming back, too. We celebrate him not once a year, but every day. Oh, it's amazing how they've done this. So it's like, who's the Lucifer? They're making it general. It's going to get murky here in the future. The millennium reign is what you're looking forward to. Let's put it in proper perspective. This period of time called the millennium reign. This is where we talked the other night about dispensationalism and taking the Bible literal is what it boils down to. When they say you're dispensationalist, it's simply asking you take the Bible literal. That's really, really simplified. There's seven dispensations. I'm not going to go over those again. But understand something. When God has wrath, He's not going to pick and choose like a lottery ticket on who is going to deliver the great hailstones or the lakes he's going to cause to turn to blood. He doesn't say, well, let's just pick this area and that'll suffice. No, it's going to be worldwide. Majority, 99% of preachers and so-called prophets today or jumping on some river that turned red somewhere. Or dead fish in one corner of the world. Oh, we're in Armageddon already. While we watch it on TV or on the YouTube, we can go to the grocery store and say, oh, guess what? What? We're in the tribulation. We are? Yeah, I saw it on YouTube. Where? Some coast to Australia. I think we're in the tribulation in Australia. Everywhere else is escape and tribulation. I would be embarrassed to even announce that and make for real. How can you do that? It'd almost be embarrassing even if I had an agenda. Family, when the tribulations begin, it's worldwide at the same time. God doesn't pick and choose certain continents he's going to curse. Oh, for goodness sakes, alive during the tribulation period. It's getting ridiculous. Now, that 7-year period begins when the Antichrist comes as a benevolent leader on a white horse. Well, it's not a white horse per se. The white horse part is when he comes in bearing gifts of fixing things. The pollution, the chemtrails, defeating the Illuminati, it gets rid of the reptilians, you know, all that. Everything they've named as evil that they've named will be eliminated. Well, that means that this guy must be good. That's a dialectic. And that's how I'll start. That's called the first seal. Well, here's the big lie. When you look at the photos, portraits, movies, you have a Caucasian, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus. That ain't Jesus Christ of Nazareth by no stretch. We're led to believe this since Leonardo's portrait. What we think Jesus looks like, but we don't know what Jesus looks like. So I said, we don't know what he looks like, then what do we got here? And so I found out. Long story short, the one we think is Jesus is one called Sananda Emmanuel, a fallen angel, who's today, you might find him as an ascended master, ascended, the ascension of a human becoming like a godlike. The ascension that's coming is the fake rapture that they're all talking about, pre-trib. Now, oh yeah, LaHaye's part of this, the Council of National Policy, LaHaye, Missler, all these guys, pre-tribbers. There's no way. They will have ascended when those disappear. And that will bring on the New Age movement and the falling away, because Christians that believe in the Bible and all that will be disillusioned by this alien disclosure. I guess that's getting a little complicated, but the idea here is that the Jesus Christ of Nazareth we think has long hair, brown hair, blue eyes, whatever, is not Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So that means they have to accelerate the end times events of the Great Tribulation. The seventh bowl judgment has got to be placed before the real first seal. They're going to have chaos before the first seal. That's got to be the so-called tribulations before the first seal. That's why the Calvinist and the preterist and the non-dispensationalist, per se, say, well, you can't take the Bible literal. So they got to accelerate the six, seven seals, the seven trumpets, and put it before the first seal to all occur. How they do that? By technology, whiz bang, smoke and mirrors, manipulation Hollywood style, to make people think, to have hailstones fall in Texas as the size of baseballs and say, oh, I know what that is. That's in the Great Tribulation. Where are we there? No, you're not. Okay, so the first seal will be after some chaotic world event. And this is when Sananda Emmanuel, the false prophet, will appear, the real one. Disclosure, the first seal. And he'll introduce the Antichrist, a human of some kind, hybrid, that will be benevolent, appearing. He'll conquer and bring peace. That is the real first seal. And you'll find that in Revelation 6, verses 1 and 2. So now, once that happens, there's no real telltale how long it's going to last. It could last a year of peace and prosperity. It could be 2 years, could be three. But somewhere in that period of peace and prosperity from the first seal is when the real World War III breaks out between Islam and political Zionism. Now, anything that's before then is not World War III. If Russia does something or China or nuclear war happens, that's not part of the tribulation. That's leading up to the first seal. Need somebody to bring peace. Stop the annihilation of mankind, etc., etc., etc. And that will be Sanan Emanuel, the first seal. That will be when it'll start. When we think he's benevolent. Now the 7 years begins. So somewhere in that first 3.5 years, the second seal will break and open. And that's the real World War III. To annihilate most of mankind. And in that annihilation attempt, is when the black horse, which is famine, not economic disaster. They've got it backwards. It says scales to weigh a penny for a dollar, a penny for food or whatever. Revelation 6, verse 5 to 6. Well, let me tell you exactly what it says. Because right now what they're doing is trying to build that off as an economic disaster, a breakup, and that's not what it is at all. Revelation 6, 3 and 4. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him to sit upon thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. Now, here we go. In 5, when he'd opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. He that sat on him had a pair of balances, there you go, in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures barley for a penny. And see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now, part of what that means is what they're looking at is the wheat for a penny. They're looking at the penny as economic disaster. No, look at the wheat and look at the barley. It's food that is a famine. So those preachers and those so-called prophets and whatever that say this is economic finance and United States is Great Babylon has fallen is a lie. Because that must happen to bring on Jesus, right? The real Babylon. Well, they're trying to make it look like it's the first seal. Is the end of the tribulation. Oh, isn't that tricky? Very tricky. They do CDs and books about this, and they're famous, making money off of it, and they're lying. If they're not lying, they're deceived. It means they better get on the stick and get back, and they still is not benevolent. It's poor research then, and they're not touched by the Holy Spirit. Third seal is a black horse, worldwide famine. The scales weigh the food, not the high prices for grain. Then the fourth seal will open, and it's probably simultaneous. It brings on famine, death to 1/4 of the world's population. Famine, that's a lot of people. Has that happened yet? No. Not at all. Seven billion people. What's 25% of 7 billion? I don't even know. That's like 1 billion. 750 million people. It's like 2 billion people, 2 or 3 billion people. That's crazy. That's not happened. And we're not talking over a long period of time. We're talking in a war. That's a serious war of death, disease, famine. That's God's judgment upon mankind. And during this period of time, when you know it's happening, leads you to the fifth seal, which are those that say, I know what's happening. I'm not taking the mark of that beast. I'm not taking that digital tattoo. Then they're going to say, aha, you're one of those Christians, aren't you? Off with the head. Whatever. That soul's on the altar on the fifth seal. Those who are martyred because of their loyalty to the Lord. And many will come to faith in Christ in the first years because of this. When this mass slaughter, to include those who followed Jesus, all this has happened, will bring on the sixth seal, and Jesus will break the sixth seal. And that's when the 144,000 Hebrew Jews, real Jews, will come out among them. From what I understand, at that point, they will try to evangelize at that time period all those Jews that have been waking up, man. They're not worried about no Torah or Judaism about this time, or even Christianity, none of that. They're concerned about their life and their eternal life, because it's pretty obvious that the scripture and the book is coming true. And this sixth seal will then bring on a great earthquake of which his son, this world has never seen before. And the fallen angels will do just that. Will be kicked out of the second heaven onto this earth. That's called externalization of the hierarchy. They have to explain it somehow. The sun will become black as sackcloth in the sixth seal, and the moon as blood. One moon, not four. Four blood moons. That's a worthless book. It's misleading people by Mark Blitz, whatever his name is, and Hagee. They're wrong. The book is worthless and very dangerous book. That's been debunked over and over. One moon as blood from the sixth seal, the real sixth seal. And at that same time, the sixth seal will begin what's called the abomination of desolation, where the Antichrist already has backstabbed everybody, will then head to Jerusalem and will take seat in the royal city, and he'll demand to be worshipped by atheists alike and everybody else. And when that happens, those Jews, those people living in Jerusalem, man, don't even come off the roof of the house if you're working on it. Just jump and keep running. If you're out in town, don't just go home. Just go to the hills immediately and start your praying. Because the Antichrist will become with great wrath. There's a silence in heaven in the seventh seal. The two witnesses come out, whoever they are. Nobody knows who they really are. And the seven angels are ready with trumpets, and that trumpet's going to blow. And the first trumpet. Now you're 3.5 years in the 7-year tribulation. The seventh seal had been broken. Silence in heaven for half an hour. Because that great earthquake has destroyed everything. You think EMP is going to destroy things? Ha! The great earthquake will destroy everything man-made down to dust. As a signal for that God's wrath is coming, there's a silence in the heavens for a half hour. The two witnesses come out. Seven angels are ready with trumpets. And baby, let me tell you, it's Katie bar the door. Because then comes God's wrath. He'll remember his son that got spit upon. He'll remember his son who died innocent. He'll remember all the sins. He'll remember what happened. He'll remember the children that were murdered, 1 million every year. He'll remember every single bit of it in every country on the face of this earth. And let me tell you, it's not going to be a handful of hailstones falling in Texas or in Serbia or in China or Timbuktu, Kalamazoo, wherever. that's going to be the tribulation. It would be worldwide at the same time. You won't have an email. You won't have a TV. You won't even have a internet. You won't need one. You'll be right there on your front door. Now, when's the rapture? Nobody knows. However, those who believe in Jesus Christ have died on the cross, and those who believe that he rose again and is coming back, those who have taken Jesus Christ as Savior, are not appointed to wrath. So you can speculate, because nobody knows, that somewhere from the fifth to the seventh seal will be the rapture. And the trumpet that it sounds is not one of the trumpets of the seven. That's separate. And Jesus will not have touched ground. It means it's not a return. You'll see Jesus in the clouds like Stephen did. And it won't be a sinner that's not accepted Jesus will not see Jesus. Why do I say that? Because I've heard tell, people tell me that, well, you know, when I see Jesus in the clouds, I'll accept him as my Savior. I said, you won't see him in the clouds, number one. And number two, by the time you see him, everybody else is gone already. Man, your lamp was not, what do you call it? Wicked. Uh-uh. Man, you didn't wick your candlestick. It's too late. The bridegroom came, went, and gone. And you're stuck here. In the twinkling of an eye. He'll remove his church. And that first trumpet sounds. Man, it ain't nothing but double ugly. Because from then on, the first trumpet, only the first trumpet, and as it's commanded by the two witnesses, those who attack these two witnesses will be consumed by fire. Will be one third of the vegetation will burn. Loss of human life. And then comes worldwide hailstones and fire. Now, we haven't seen any of that really in this period of time. They saw this back in the days of Noah and the Old Testament and miracles of the New Testament. We haven't seen that today. You know who sees supernatural events? Or the Wicca. The supernatural, the demonic entities. They've seen the balls of light. You know, that's to make them ooh, ah, wow. They've seen manifestations of these fallen angels. Ooh, ah, wow. That's to keep them. Because remember Jesus said to Thomas? When Thomas says, my Lord, my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, you've seen and you believed. But blessed are they who've not seen and believe. You see? So the supernatural, the Wicca, the Satanists, they show you supernatural things to pull you in. Freemasons. And the alchemy, look what I can do. See what I did? I can hold an energy ball in my hand. Look at that. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. I can levitate something. Watch. Man, you're not doing it. The demons are. Oh, for goodness sakes, alive, man. Wake up. Because you've sold your soul to the devil. And if you had Holy Spirit with you, those demons would not be around to raise that table, to raise that glass, or make you look like you're ooh, ah, wow with making things move. It's not you. It's the demons doing it for you. That first trumpet is the real hailstones and fire and will not be localized for sure. Then the second trumpet will sound and a great mountain will fire will cast down into the third of the sea as blood. See, they're trying to make it look like Fukushima is this part right here. The pollution will act as a sea of blood. And they'll use that to make us think that we're already in the tribulations. You see how they're doing it? A third of the creatures will die. A third of the ships will be destroyed. Man, this is all God. This is not mankind doing it. God don't need nuclear weapons, for goodness sakes alive. He didn't need them at Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't need harp for the great flood. He can do what he wants to. The third trumpet falling right up with it in that last three and a half years. A great star falls. Speculation on that is Apollo falls. But another one is it's a big meteor of some size. falls like a lamp. Rivers and waters, wormwood. Third part of the waters be wormwood. And again, they're trying to use Fukushima to say that's what is going on now. It's not. That's why they're trying to, Carl Gallup and all the rest of them are saying we're in the sixth seal already, the sixth trumpet. That's not possible. Wormwood, third trumpet. This is the third trumpet into the 3.5 years, the end of the last 3.5 years. Then the fifth trumpet will sound. When that happens, man, it's going to, right after it, the fifth trumpet will blow, the fifth angel. And the star fell from heaven to earth, and it's a key. This is Apollo, Apollyon or whatever. A key, the bottomless pit, and that's an angel, star. That's the star we're talking about. We'll open up the bottomless pit, the Abaddon. And that's the first woe. And demons will come out, demon locusts. They're trying to say locusts are the, are like helicopters or something. In a world, you're not going to have that anymore. These are supernatural events. 5 months, these demonic locusts of some kind that's coming out of the earth will sting, will torment men for 5 months, and they will not be able to die. They'll try to commit suicide. Won't work. God won't let them. If God can let man live at 900 years old, then he can prevent men from dying if he wants to. This is punishment. He ain't going to let you die. So what makes people think annihilation is part of the end times events? It's not. If it was, he would not let, I just thought of that just now. If annihilation was it, he'd let men commit suicide and die and go to hell. But he's not going to do that. He's going to make them live. No matter what they do, they won't die. Can you imagine? Oh, you're a dispensationalist. You're taking the Bible literal. You're darn right I am. So what the Bible says, what's going to happen? That's just the fifth trumpet. Sixth trumpet, toward the end of the tribulation, is the second woe. Here is where an army of 200 million transhumanized or supernatural men from the east will destroy one-third of mankind. Family, these are supernatural. These are not like 200 million China or Russia or whatever. Man, you're not going to have any armies available at this time. It's all supernatural. You see, all this has happened. How are you going to maintain an army of 200 million in anywhere? It's not going to happen. These are supernatural Nephilim. And their bodies have been taken over by the demonic entities that were in the Old Testament. Aha! How about that? The transhumanized supernatural army has come back. This is a prelude to Armageddon. Oh, did I say Armageddon? Yeah! We're not even Armageddon yet. And here is where God is going to loose the four angels, the seven thunders in the book, and another great earthquake. And then comes the seventh trumpet. This is the third woe. And you can't say woe, because ain't no woe. This seventh trumpet brings on seven bowls. Not done yet. And the words from heaven is the second coming is closed. The kingdom of the worlds have become the kingdom of our Lord, of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. You have the marriage supper of the Lamb, judgment seat of Christ for those that are born again, will be judged, will be rewarded of five crowns. Some will get none, but they may have made it by fire. The Antichrist is now targeted. And the first bowl brought on by the seventh trumpet. The seventh seal brings on the first trumpet. The seventh trumpet brings on the first bowl. And it is nothing but double ugly from here on. It's called the terrible sores on all those who follow the Antichrist. Revelation 16:2. Then the second bowl will be poured out upon mankind. And all the seas turned to blood, all of them. Was the third? Now it's all of them, all two-thirds left over. All creatures will die. The third bowl all the fresh water of the earth has turned to blood. Not colored red water. You want colored water? Huh. Go to Chicago, St. Patty's Day. The river turns green there. There you go. No, this is blood. Just like it did in the days of Pharaoh. God can do that, you know. It's God doing it, not man. The fourth bowl gives power to the sun to bring heat to the earth's surface. Revelation 16, 8 and 9. Scorch men. The fifth bowl. Revelation 16, 10 to 11. Darkness over the kingdom of the Antichrist. See, all the fallen angels are on this earth by this time. And Satan, made physical, manifested in the physical, is also on this earth at that time. And there's nowhere they can go. And the sixth bowl will open and pour out upon the earth. And here, listen, this is right here is proof positive. See, we're already, what, 7 years into the tribulation? Then the Euphrates is dried up. Demonically inspired men head for their own destruction. Armageddon. The three unclean spirits will come out demonic. That's the sixth bowl at the end, toward the end of the 7 year tribulation. That's when the Euphrates dries up. They're trying to fake it now, aren't they? Right there is the proof. See, you read about it. Haven't you not read about the Euphrates being dried up now by Russia? They're trying to bring in the sixth bowl judgment, the seventh trumpet. That's what they're trying to do. To get you to believe we're at the end of the tribulation. Right there is slam dunk evidence. Now, what's the evidence? Well, everything I've talked to you about now, has any of this happened? Now, if you want to, if I had a chat and somebody typed in my chat, yeah, but two hailstones fell in Texas, we're already in, I would block them right there. I would take them out of there. I would have time to fool with that. You see what they've done? Right there's a proof of it. Look up the Euphrates drying up last week. Now, did all these events from the first to the sixth seal, seventh seal, the first trumpet to the sixth trumpet, the seventh trumpet, has that already happened up to today? I don't think so. So why are they saying the Euphrates has dried up already? Unless they're trying to fool us. Come on now. And since when did 200 million sweep down into Armageddon? Armageddon, man. Look how much has got to happen before Armageddon even takes place. Come on now. They must think we're dumb. And the seventh bowl is poured out immediately when Euphrates dries up. Demonically inspired men head for their own destruction. 200 million is already done. Then, at the seventh bowl, is a massive moving of the earth's crust, followed by 100-pound hailstones. Now, isn't that a little bit overkill? 100-pound hailstones. Whoa! That's a little bit bigger than a baseball size. Why would God send 100-pound hailstones down? With my dun, 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 dun. Where is that? I don't have it written for me now. Let me tell you why. Go back to the sixth bowl. What do you got? You got these demonically inspired men head for the other destruction. Armageddon. God don't do things in small ways. You've got giants of Nephilim. Demonically inspired men are Nephilim. Not human. Now you know the reason for 100-pound hailstones. Overkill for oversize. The lights come on out there. Has anybody ever questioned why 100-pound hailstones? You know that this one named Bagley or whatever said that the 954-pound hailstone fell in Croatia and tried to link that up to this times. Well, actually, it's inferred to it. Now you see what I mean? So I guess the seventh bowl has already opened up sometime last year when one 900-pound hailstone fell in Croatia. Oh, man. Whoa. Now, there comes Armageddon. Armageddon is when the skies open up, they look up, and they see Jesus coming on a white horse, carrying a sword. Not a bow with no arrows like the Antichrist did, you see. But Jesus carrying a sword, meaning, look out, Jack, I'm back in town. And all he does is give a command. And all these demonically inspired, whatever's left, will start killing each other, just like they did in the flood. And the fallen angels, they're supernatural, will be thrown in the lake of fire with a false prophet and the Antichrist. They will not be consumed in the fire. They will just burn and not die. The Armageddon, Satan will be put or chained in utter darkness for the next 1,000 years. That is a millennium reign. Men will live to be 1,000 years old. Did it once, he can do it again. You see. Now, there's something I wanted to mention about that. Armageddon, 1,000 years, 100-pound hailstones, Nephilim. These are supernatural beings that are being destroyed. Euphrates is dried up to allow access to the Middle East and Jerusalem, for they'll all be gathered together for their destruction. Hundred-pound hailstones will ensure the death of the Nephilim. They will not escape it. That's why the overkill, because of the oversize. By this time, the atmosphere of the earth will exceed or be matched with what it was in days of old, barium. Be livable by the Nephilim that comes out of the ground. And this is God's wrath. And when they're all destroyed, Jesus will come down in the clouds. That will begin with his saints. The 1,000-year millennium reign. Now, I wasn't sure how far I'd go with that, but it's taken me now quite a long time to talk about those events. But that's the timeline in the 7-year period. Now, when they say, like Carl Gallup and the rest of them down there and over other places, that we're already in the sixth trumpet, it's a very simple matter of saying, excuse me, I have a question. They say, yeah, what's your question? And then you start asking them, when did the first trumpet sound? When that great earthquake, and they just get mad at you. Start asking questions about all this, you know, five seals and the previous five trumpets. Ask them about it. Ask them about it. See what they say. You're probably going to want your money back because they're going to want you out of there. They don't like to be questioned when they're hiding something. Start asking questions. You don't necessarily be disrespectful. They may call it such, but that's their problem. I want answers, and I demand an answer. If you can't answer me, I'm out of here. I want money back. Family, it's time to start calling people out. Man, if I make a mistake, call me out. it's about the truth. It's not about personal ego and all this other stuff or making money, whatever. This is about truth. Start calling people out on this. This political correctness is killing us. Being politically correct is like them saying, shut up and listen to me. You know, I don't agree with that at all. Now, what is the millennial kingdom? I might just talk about this again tomorrow night in another aspect. I think this is important to know of what's going to happen to those that are following Jesus Christ. They don't want you to know that. That'd be a lure for you to say, accept Jesus as Savior, and they don't want that either. That's what they're trying to say to the Masons. You're going to ascend. Each time you go up a degree, you're getting closer to Godhood. Each degree, we're changing your frequencies. They tell them this at some level. Each degree you do the good deeds and all this, your frequency is getting more to the ascension. They don't tell you about that in the Freemasons because they're taking the oath to lie. And they got to know that's what it is. That's why I say it this way. I'm not attacking the Masons. Who am I to attack anybody? I'm trying to tell them what the truth is so they'll say and get mad at me and go check it out. We'll show them. And they'll find out it's true. That's the tricky part. Now, what is the Millennium Kingdom? The Millennium Kingdom is the title given to a thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. And some people try to interpret the thousand years in an allegorical manner. They understand the thousand years as a figurative way of saying a long period of time. They want to thank the Calvinists and Preterists that were already in it. They were in it now. Really, I must have missed all the rest of the things. History didn't account for it. So to answer that, to try to go back to, well, 70 AD, this is what happened. They say it's not really 7 years, but events that's happened, like Chernobyl, is Wormwood. Now you see why they named it Chernobyl? Well, Wormwood already happened. When? Well, Chernobyl is called Wormwood. And, oh, I see. No, that's wrong. Family, this is long-term lies. They create the diseases to make it look like pestilence. And they say Africa is dying of smallpox or whatever. Oh, whoa, we're already in the fourth seal. No, it's going to be in America too, by the way. Now, six times in Revelation 20, verse 2 to 7, the millennial kingdom is specifically said to be 1,000 years in length. If God wished to communicate a long period of time, he would have easily done so without explicitly and repeatedly mentioning exact time frame. The Bible also tells us that when Christ returns to the earth, he will establish himself as king in Jerusalem, sitting on the throne of David. You find that in Luke 1, verses 32 and 33. So the unconditional covenants demand a literal physical return of Christ that's going to establish his kingdom. So the Abrahamic covenant, when he blessed the Hebrews, promised Israel a land, a prosperity, and ruler, and spiritual blessing. You'll find it in Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3. So the Palestinian covenant promised Israel a restoration to the land and the occupation of the land. Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 to 10. Now, when Jesus when God established the Abrahamic covenant, he was the first Jew, the first Hebrew Israelite Jew. 1, 2, 3. So much so that God told Abraham to move away from his family. That was the separation, was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob, the 12 tribes. The 12 tribes, they had the distinction of bringing God's holy word to mankind. Had they accomplished that, hypothetically, we'd all be speaking Hebrew today. But instead, we're speaking the universal language of English. Because when the Jews failed to bring God's holy word to mankind, it fell upon the Gentiles. And the Gentiles went to Greek. They went to Greek. That's where you get this Hebrews movement. Hebrews movement of Yeshua. Because Ananda Emmanuel, the false prophet, the one that looks like Jesus we think does, is calling himself Yeshua. You see what's going on? Oh, that's tricky. Satan does not want you to know today what I'm telling you. The Davidic covenant promised Israel a king from David, his line of DNA, who would rule forever, giving the nation rest from all their enemies. 2 Samuel 7, 10 to 13. And that rulership was not Nathan and it was not Solomon. It was Jesus Christ. And that king had to die on the cross for our sins. He's our intercessor today. But when he comes back, no. He is our judge. And I've just described to you what's going to happen before he comes here. It's called the tribulation. You see? At the second coming, these covenants will be fulfilled as Israel is regathered from the nations. Matthew 24, 31. Converted. Zechariah 12, 10 to 14. And restored to the land under the rule of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible speaks of these conditions during the millennium as a perfect environment, physically and spiritually. It will be a time of peace. Micah 4, verses 2 to 4. Isaiah 32, verses 17 to 18. And of joy. Isaiah 61, verses 7 and verse 10. Of comfort. Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 2. I'm getting all choked up here. Amazing. I was right. They don't want this word out. This is amazing. The Bible also tells us that only believers will enter the millennial kingdom. I'm going to get it out no matter what. Because of this, it will be a time of obedience. Jeremiah 31 on verses 33. Of holiness, Isaiah 35 and verse 8. Of truth, Isaiah 65 verse 16. and the knowledge of God. Isaiah 11, verse 9, and Habakkuk, H-A-B-A-K-K-U-K, 2, verses 14. And Christ will rule as king. Isaiah 9, 3-7, and Isaiah 11, all of verse 1 to verse 10. And the nobles and governors will also rule, that be your saints. Isaiah 32, verse 1. Matthew 19, verse 28. And then, Jerusalem will be the political center of the world. Zechariah 8, verse 3. So, if you go to Revelation 20, verses 2 to 7, it gives a precise time period of the millennial kingdom. And even without these scriptures, there's countless others that point to a literal reign of the Messiah on the earth. The fulfillment of many of God's covenants that we're talking about here and his promises rests on the literal, physical, future kingdom. And there is no solid basis for denying that the literal interpretation of the millennium, this kingdom in the millennium, its duration being for 1,000 years. Now, what I can talk about tomorrow, y'all, is the purpose of the thousand-year reign of Christ. What's the purpose of it? I don't want to do a lot of summarization tomorrow night. I'll do a little bit, maybe. I'll have this up tonight. So I'll refer back to today's Bible study. And tomorrow I'm going to jump right into it. The purpose of the thousand-year reign of Christ. What's it all about? And I'll fill in a few other little goodies. anything else you want me to bring up, let me know. And also, I have a teaching, the wrath of God against ungodliness and righteousness. Unrighteousness. Man, God's not kidding around. Right now, we're just surfing. You know, we're surfing. This is practice. Getting us ready. That's all this is right now. And need to be prepared for what's yet to come. God's mercy is in the trials and tribulations. Because his mercy is, and giving us trials and tribulations, is to strengthen us for the times to come. That's his mercy, so be prepared for it. How many people do you know that are walking around in a stupor? In this being sheep thing, sheeple and all that stuff we talk about. And what's it going to take to wake them up? Tribulation. What's it going to put our ego-driven, we're number one, we're number one attitude to a, oh Lord, I need help. Oh, so far past that. We're taught pride is the way to be. Is that what the Bible says? No, it doesn't. Think about it for a minute. I was in the football, Marine Corps. Man, you don't have any pride. Yeah, I do. You want to fight about it? You know, I've got pride in what I do. See, pride goes before the fall. It's completely opposite what the Bible says. How about that? See what they've done? and Miss America pageant. Is that Miss America for real? No, it's not. They train these girls to be Miss America. They take one out of, God, Lord knows how many. Is that Miss America? So Miss America comes up, and they're out there doing their thing and all this before. They're flaunting all this and all that. What about the women back home watching it? How about the men? Is that representative of American women or European women or whatever? No, it's not. That's the standard that they set. So it makes everybody else feel like what? Well, I'm just not good enough. How about Mr. America? Hey, Cletus, when are you going to start looking like that? You're going to say, well, Martha, when you start looking like that, look at my calendar. Is that good for a marriage? No. It's good to get killed in one, though. You see what they've done? Then they bring out little Martha, lipstick on her face, at 13 years old or 12. Miss Teenage America. Say what? What? Y'all follow me on this. This is part of it. And they use those contestants for political issues. Because they're now national, international. So they use them in TV, movies, spouting off political, social issues that they, Illuminati, use them for their purposes. That's the purpose of it. Exactly. Humanism. Whoo, I'm opening up some eggs tonight. Trials and tribulations is to wake us up to reality. That's why it's God's mercy. Because if you don't, those that's not awakened to the reality of being born again are going to hell. That's why it's God's mercy with trials and tribulations. Changing the end times order to conform to Sanand Emanuel's appearance is to make Sanand Emanuel appear like he is Jesus coming at Armageddon. Are they not calling this war set up, whatever it is they throw in a pot, as Armageddon? We're at Armageddon. Hagee will write a letter or write a book. Some other theologian, Mark Bliss, whatever, or Harbinger or Harbig Banger or whatever, I don't know what. We're in Armageddon. We're coming up to Armageddon. No, we're not Armageddon. What about these other events I've just told you about? Can't just drop them. Oh, you must be a dispensationalist. How do you spell that again? See what they've done? So they got to have the accelerated end times first to bring on Sanand Emanuel as the coming Christ. And say, oh, he's really a fallen angel. He's really an alien. That's exactly what they're going to say. Do it tonight. Look up Sanand Emanuel and link it up to Yeshua, Y-E-S-H-U-A. And then link it up to the ascended masters. And you've got your hierarchy and your aliens right there. Been set up since 1897. And that's the falling away. We created you. Really? Who created you, sucker? Oops. You better be covered in the blood of Jesus on that one. It's coming. So they're trying to make the end times accelerated. So Sanand Emanuel will be like the coming Jesus at Armageddon, you see? And that will be the first seal. Not the beginning of the millennium. Or the ascension of mankind to become like a godlike man. Everybody else will be put on another planet. That's what they're telling people. Oh, and people believing it in the thousands. Including the Freemasons. I hope that's kind of clear. If it's not, do email me and I'll try to make it clearer. Oh, we're at the end. So dispensationalism, my point was, do you take the Bible literal or do you not? It's really what it kind of boils down to. Instead of saying, do you take the Bible literal? They don't say that. They say, oh, are you believing dispensationalism? Are you a dispensationalist? Man, won't you spell it right? L-I-T-E-R, literal, B-I-B-L-E, Bible. There you go. Saves a lot of time that way, don't it? Yes, I take the Bible literal, except when Jesus says, this is a parable. Then I think, oh, this must be a parable. And he explains the parable, so there's no secrets in the Bible, except the seven thunders. We don't know what that is yet. Probably because we won't understand it. That's why. There's no secrets in God's kingdom. So Freemasons, why are you taking the blood oath for secrets? It can't be of God. Let me know tonight how this thing went. I've thrown a lot of stuff at you all this afternoon. And I've thrown a lot of stuff at you tonight. And you got to know this stuff because it's going to hit a lot of people. And they're not going to know what we've talked about tonight at all. And the great deception will be who Jesus is, really. The real Jesus is bronze skin, dark skin, and hair like wool. Not black, not Caucasian, not Chinese, but Middle Easterner. More Arab looking Jesus is who he really is. Now, why would he do that? Would it be because he was born in the Middle East? Would that be a hint of some kind? See, the Ashkenazi, white folk Jews, Ashkenazi, blonde hair, blue eyed, the Khazars, they're not real Jews. They left before their generations turned into the Arabs. The Ashkenazi are not real Jews, the synagogue of Satan. They're not the same bloodline. Lord, we thank you tonight for us being able to come together. Father, lead us in our studies of this end times events and use us as you see fit. Father, to help our families that's going through these attacks, Father, to get them well again, we pray for Tom Listener's mother. We pray for others that we've prayed for in the past, for their families to be healed, for their families to come together, where the daughter or son are turning away from the family, to bring them back, Lord, to set up situations, divine appointments, to where they'll see the other ones reveal themselves of who they really are. That Satan is using children, using family members to go against the worship of Jesus and the passing of the true word, attacking families from within. Father, we need help on this, to bring the children back to the homes, to reveal the outside influences of who they really are. And Father, for those prayers we hear tonight, to bring daughters back to families, to have daughters to see the ones trying to influence them away from the families, to bring healing to those that are loved family members, it's through their maladies, it's causing distraction, interruptions, and heartache in families, and to bring families together. Lord, we pray for another week, and the week after that, of Bible studies and protection. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, family, I appreciate you all stopping by on this Thursday, and I hope you got something out of tonight. Whew, I know my head's spinning. Today has been a mental day, let me tell you what. We'll talk more about it tomorrow night and then tomorrow Bible broadcast 4 to 6. Let y'all know that HighPointRadio.net plays our Bible studies and our broadcast, John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, HighportRadio.net, and KBLU Radio up in Colorado, Blue Raven Network, KBLU Radio, KBLU Radio. Thank you tonight, family, and we'll see y'all tomorrow. The idea is to keep going, no matter what. And believe me, I know, it's not easy to do sometimes. Not easy to do. But remember who you are. You're special in God's eyes. We'll see y'all tomorrow night. Have a great night. This is The Watchman. Signing off.
I know that look you're giving, like you got something to prove. 'Cause I have walked for miles and miles in that same pair of shoes. You refuse forgiveness like it's something to be earned. Sometimes pain's the only